Good day, everyone. This is the SME Showcase of Atlanta Show Financial Capital Markets episode, and I'm your host, Rio Orvac. We have in the studio today top thought leaders from the financial capital markets area. Our headliner is Robert Ballantyne from Ballantyne. Welcome, Robert.
Good morning, Rio.
I would like to introduce our headline speaker today, Robert Ballantyne from Ballantyne.
Robert Ballantyne is Chairman and Chief Executive Officer of Ballantyne, the Atlanta-based independent investment advisory firm. In 1987, Robert founded Ballantyne & Company, which grew to become the largest independent advisory firm in the South. In 2002, the firm was acquired by a large public company where Robert became CEO of their investment management business, managing more than $36 billion in assets. 5 years ago, he and his partners became entrepreneurs once again and created Ballantyne as an independent firm. Since its founding in December 2009, Ballantyne has grown to nearly $2 billion in assets, employing 25 people in two offices, and has been named one of the top 50 fastest-growing RIAs by Forbes and a best place to work in money management by Pensions and Investments. In addition, the Metro Atlanta Chamber awarded Robert with the Entrepreneur of the Year Lifetime Achievement Award in 2013. In August of this year, Robert was named one of the nation's top 100 independent financial advisors by Barron's. Ballantyne's headquarters are located at 3344 Peachtree Road, Suite 2200, Atlanta, Georgia, 30326, 404-537-4800.
And today's topic centers around innovation and change in financial markets. Robert, you're the headliner, and the theme you've created today is the more things change, the more they stay the same. So your first question is, as your bio suggests, you have been an innovator in the industry for 35 years and at the forefront of change. What are some of the changes you've seen during the past three decades, and what has the impact been on investors?
Rio, there have been innumerable changes. I think the first thing that comes to mind is the plethora of financial products that have been introduced. When I started in the business, a diversified portfolio consisted of the Dow 30 and a laddered bond or municipal bond portfolio. And today, investors can invest in energy futures, derivatives, commodities, international equities, alternative investments like hedge funds and private equity. There's been an amazing number of financial products that have been securitized that are all competing for investors' money. The second thing that I've witnessed is the 24/7 news cycle and the globalization of markets. We see Jim Cramer ranting and raving on CNBC. We see stock quotes in the elevator. And we live in an information society, but information is not knowledge, and knowledge is not wisdom. So with the onslaught of financial products and the amount of information out there, I'm not quite sure investors are making any better investment decisions than they did when I started 35 years ago. We've also seen a movement away from selling products to selling advice. In the 40s and 50s, stockbrokers were known as customers' men. And these were people who were to give the client the very best of their advice without conflict. Regrettably, I think our industry has confused the economics of the business with the values of the profession, and we've seen a large movement away from commission-based compensation to fee-based advice. Those are just a few of the things that I've witnessed in the last 35 years.
Well, thank you, Robert. You've certainly seen a lot of change, but what has stayed the same?
Well, the main thing that stayed the same, I think, is human behavior. We seem to vacillate between fear and greed and between hope and fear. It was Mr. Buffett, I believe, who said we must remain fearful when others are greedy and greedy when others are fearful. And yet we all think we're smarter than the average bear. It's interesting to me that 80% of the fees paid to people who manage money don't produce better results than one could do in an index fund. And what we've seen is the continued cycle of hope as a strategy. I think it was Thomas Carlyle who said hope was a wonderful traveling companion, but a poor roadmap. Investors, on the other hand, think and hope that they can do better than markets. And regrettably, rather than what we learned in Econ 101, which was to buy low and sell high, investors tend to come into markets right at the peak when things are rosy and feel fear and despondency, as we saw in March of 09 when things were on sale. We were talking before the show about the opportunity in March of 09 to buy Ford Motor Company and GM and General Electric and some of America's best businesses. But as far as I'm concerned, ours is the only industry where when you run a sale, nobody wants to buy anything.
Yeah, so that definitely the nation is in now in recovery from a recent recession. How is that affecting the short investors' memory, and what are the implications of that?
Well, we're all affected by recency bias, things that recently happened that determine our future behavior. And I think we've seen in the minds of investors, particularly from a psychological impact, the idea that I can't get any return off of my savings, and therefore I'm going to take risk and yield-oriented investments in order to try to replace that. 30 years ago, if you had $1 million invested in a 10-year treasury bond, you could expect to take home around $120,000 worth of income. Today, if you had $1 million in a 10-year treasury bond, the income you're going to get is just over $22,000. And frankly, after today's slide, likely to potentially pierce the 2% level. In effect, what that means is investors today have got to have at least six times more money to generate the same income than they did 30 years ago. And so we've reached for yield and different types of yield-oriented investments. And typically the way that ends is badly. I think the other thing that we've seen in the last, well, in terms of recent markets, is the S&P is up roughly three times since the Great Recession in 2009 with very little volatility. And in effect, the world's central banks are creating financial repression. They've engineered interest rates down below the rate of inflation in order to try to convince investors to take risk. And ultimately, asset prices have to reflect earnings. And I think we could all argue that markets are somewhat out over their skis, particularly as we've seen volatility in recent days. So here's the question for the listeners, Rio. How am I going to meet my investment objectives with a portfolio traditionally allocated 40% to bonds when bonds today are yielding 2 to 3% and 60% to equities when, from all intents and purposes, we would indicate stocks should probably return 6 to 7% over the next 7 years? How can a portfolio constructed 60% stocks and 40% bonds allow me to spend 4 or 5% of my corpus and still reinvest to take care of the effects of inflation? That's the challenge before us.
Well, thank you for that, Robert. And how has your firm differentiated itself as an innovative firm in this industry?
Well, first of all, as an SEC-regulated advisor, we're held to a fiduciary standard of care. It's not simply a moral imperative. We are required to put the needs of our clients ahead of our own. And this is very different from a suitability standard in which you only have to do what's suitable, maybe not necessarily what's best for your clients. When I started off in this industry 35 years ago with a large retail brokerage, I quickly learned that my primary job was to protect my client from the predatory instincts of my employer. And I think today people are looking for trust, but they also want to verify trust in a business model. Our industry has confused investors with hidden fees, with charges, with different ways to extract nickels and dimes, which add up. And it's important for investors to understand that really there are only three things that we can control. We can control the fees we pay for investment advice. We can control the volatility that we're willing to accept. And we can control how much we contribute or how much we withdraw from the portfolio. So we've built the kind of firm that, frankly, we would hire to manage our own capital, which to me means no conflict of interest, no proprietary product, and no broker-dealer. Our only revenue is the fees the clients pay us for advice, so we're not incentivized by the advice that we give clients. And I think the second thing is more of a philosophical approach. We don't view our goal is to beat the market. I've never met an investor when markets were down 20% and their portfolio was down 18% that felt good because they had, quote, beat the market. I think what's far more important is for investors to understand what are their goals, what are their objectives, and am I on track to meet my plan? Am I going to be able to educate my grandchildren? Am I going to be able to fund the organizations I care about? Am I going to be able to live comfortably during my golden years?
Well, thank you, Robert. That's it's great to get your perspective on that. We're back in the studio for a wrap-up segment with the SME Showcase of Atlanta Financial Capital Markets episode. Along the topic of innovation and change in financial markets, we will go around the table of our distinguished subject matter experts for a short summary of their points of discussion. We'll start with you, Robert Ballantyne from Ballantyne. In a few words, please highlight your thoughts, please.
I think the first thing, Rio, is for investors to focus on the things they can control. There's a lot of financial noise today, and it seems to be increasing at a frequency and a rate that, frankly, is providing lots of information but not a lot of insight and not a lot of wisdom. What we can control are the fees that we pay for investment advice, and that to me means if you have highly efficient markets such as U.S. large-cap stocks or international stocks, if you can access an index for 10 or 20 basis points rather than paying an active manager fee, 80 to 100 basis points, that's something you can control. The second thing is the amount of volatility. Understand your risk budget. How many assets do I need in my safe bucket? How many am I willing to commit to a long-term investment program? And realize that investing is not a 100-yard dash. It's a marathon. And our focus and our goal should not try to beat an index or a market, but to meet our client's investment objective. I think it's important to focus on understanding liquidity, where everyone was caught short in the financial recession in 08 and 09 was the lack of capital to be able to take advantage of opportunities. So understanding how one's balance sheet is allocated between safe assets, risk assets, and invest in things for the long haul that you understand. Our industry is famous for packaging all types of esoteric products, layered with fees and complexity and illiquidity, when in fact most investors can peel that back, demystify it, and access similar strategies at a lower cost fee.